Hi, I'm Greg Williams, and this is We Are GCI series. And today, as my guest, we have Dr. Randy Bloom. Welcome, Randy.
Thanks, Greg. Good to be here with you.
Well, it's wonderful because I know you and Debbie are in a new stage of life right now, and I wanted to start out by just asking you, what's retirement like for you and Deb?
Can I say I love it enough?
Yeah, no, sure.
We're enjoying it. We're loving it. Interestingly enough, retirement came at the same time as COVID. I mean, that was not good timing on our part, but we had no choice in that. But
right.
We had a lot of big plans that we had to revise. Okay, but you know, we did some revising and we were able to do some things. And now that it's lightened up, we've gotten really serious about getting out there and making some major trips and checking off bucket lists of places we want to go, things
sure.
we want to do. It's been great.
Do you mind sharing? I know you went on one really big epic trip just recently. Do you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Well, it'd be hard to share just a little bit.
Right,
but,
right.
I mean, just in general, we spent a long time planning, actually, several trips that we were going to take over a couple of years. And with COVID, again, regrouping, we wound up combining these two or three trips into one. And so we just had a lot of moving parts, a lot of places that we went throughout Europe. And it'd be hard to pick any particular place
sure.
or thing. It was marvelous. You know, we
good.
Planned well and worked hard and went to some of our favorite places and some other places. And both of us were just in agreement that the whole thing just was above expectations. It was a marvelous time. We wish we could have kept going, but we had to finally pull the plug on it and
okay.
come home.
Well, we're really happy for you that you're getting to do this and that COVID's lifted too. It brings me to a second question though that ties in. So with serving on the board, because Randy, you serve as the board chairman both for Grace Communion International
right.
and for Grace Communion Seminary. So how is this, because that's a volunteer role, but how does that work into your rhythms with your retirement life, your traveling, the things that you do, but then working as the board chair?
Overall, it works real well. It's volunteer and I'm retired, okay?
Yes.
And so there's a lot of flexibility with both, and it's a good thing.
Right.
Because we are still busy, even though we're retired. But there's a rhythm to it in that the meetings are on a regular basis, spaced throughout the year. Things come up in between the meetings, as you know.
Oh, yes.
Okay? And,
oh, yes.
And pretty frequently
yes.
that need to be dealt with. Some take more time and effort than others. But generally, it's pretty easy to work with. It gets to be challenging sometimes.
Right.
There are some tough decisions to be made on occasion and some good discussions that we have. But a really nice thing about it is, a couple things. One, you and Matt and others have just been really good about working with our schedule and flexibility. And I think it's gone both ways, actually, a lot of times, where we've been able to work through some various schedule
yes.
changes and adaptions. But it's also working with some of the best people you could ever hope to work with.
Right.
You and your staff, others at the home office. I just feel blessed to still be connected to mm-hmm. GCI and in this way and be a part of things and to work with all of you guys. It's a lot of fun. It's enjoyable, challenging at times, but it's good.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people would understand that you and I are like still in a fresh period for the church because we, before you became board chair and before I became president, and Joe DeCotch before us, he served in both of those positions at the same time. So now there has been, a change of that to where we separated the role of president and the role of board chair. So you and I we're learning a bit as we go, aren't we?
It's a learning process. There's a curve. It's not a huge curve, but it's a learning process. And part of it is learning what we don't know.
Yes.
Because it is different having the separation of chair and president. And nobody's done it before in our organization. And so there are some nuances that we encounter from
yes.
time to time. Nothing major, but there have been
right.
some nuances we've talked through and worked through. And it's a matter, too, of you and I are mindful about precedent.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not just for now and for us,
right,
and what needs to be done and what's the best thing, but we're always thinking about a lot of decisions that we make. We're thinking about the future.
Absolutely.
What kind of impact it might have on GCI or future leaders in GCI on down the road after we're long gone. And so that gets interesting sometimes, thinking that through. And not that we always figure it out, but it makes it interesting.
It does. And I, you know, from my perspective, I've always appreciated being able to have your listening ear, your years of experience, the advice that you can bring. But we do work through some of these nuances. I mean, our bylaws have only been, the new bylaws that we have only been in effect for about 5 years now, which is really still the toddler stage of learning how to operate this way. And I think you and I both are appreciating some of the nuances of how the bylaws work. And even with committees, I don't think everybody understands with the board, we have the board of directors, the seated board of directors, but then we have various committees too that work together. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, the committees serve various functions, a finance committee, doctrinal committee, a compensation committee and the like, and various board members serve on each of those. And they're the behind the scenes, the board is behind the scenes overall.
Yes.
But then even more behind the scenes are those committees that they will tackle or work with, you know, some of the major issues and decisions that need to be made in between the quarterly meetings that we have.
Right.
So that things can keep working. So,
right.
So that the work of the church can continue and issues can be addressed, decisions can be made without having to call a board meeting together. So they're doing a great job. We've got some pros on the board.
We sure do.
Both boards. And I mean, we've got people who are truly professional in their respective fields. Very knowledgeable, experienced and wise and sound and balanced, you know, good thinkers.
Exactly.
And they work well together too and communicate well together. And so a lot of decisions are able to be made in the committees that are then brought to the board.
Right.
For final approval, of course. But it's a well-oiled machine. The fact that everybody gets along so well and
yes.
works together well, and they're very mature about this
yes.
and Christ-centered. And very loyal and dedicated to GCI makes it work well.
It does.
I mean, it is. It's great working with everybody.
Absolutely. And you and I were talking a little bit about how the role of the board overall, it does its work behind the scenes primarily. The board's not out in the limelight, not a lot of exposure, but at the same time, the board is a bit like the skeletal structure. It's a framework that allows us in the management side that we can do our jobs with a certain amount of assurance, with sound wisdom, knowing that the board is there backing us up and approving of what we're doing. And if that gets out of alignment, that becomes a real problem. But again, like you said, with the board members, there's a lot of professional people,
yeah.
but they're all elders in the church too, aren't they?
Right. Yes, they are. And it's nice and diverse too. It's a good diversity to it. As I said, the maturity level.
Yes.
Just balanced, sound people. But also we have fun too. I mean,
we do.
We joke around and have fun together.
Exactly.
And we enjoy each other. We like each other.
Yes.
And that makes a huge difference. And the board is a framework. It's a support structure. And the board ensures the integrity, ongoing integrity of the theology and doctrine of GCI.
Right.
Make sure that everything that's said and done that represents GCI is according to the theological structure,
yes.
the doctrine that we express. The board they maintain the integrity of the finances,
yes.
and the financial procedures, the mission and vision of the church. Jesus gave us the mission, go and make disciples.
Okay? Right.
And how we do that and what that looks like, not just in the U.S., but in various places around the globe. That's a matter of vision.
Yes.
And, you and your team and superintendents and others, you're the ones who work out that vision and mission and how that works from place to place.
Right, the day to day.
And you always keep us up to, you share your plan with us. You update us on it. You give us good updates so the board knows what's going on and has a finger on the pulse of what's happening in GCI in various places around the world. But we also have an opportunity to speak into it.
You know, yes.
If we got questions or suggestions or ideas for you, there's a good ebb and flow of relationship and communication there that's very commendable as well.
No, I do appreciate the way the flow is in that. I think people might be interested to know, even just in our relationship, like we said earlier, you know, you and I are the first two to be in the separated role. I personally appreciate how you are available to me with even advice about some of the planning. But more than that, you check up. I mean, you text me. Sometimes when I'm traveling, you text a message to me to say, how's that going? Been praying about this. But I feel like you end up being a ministry coach to me in a lot of ways. Is that how you experience it a bit too?
Yeah, a bit. You know, it's nice to hear you say that, and I'm glad you think that, because that's a major role for board chair.
Mm-hmm.
The primary role is in regards to making sure the board is functioning as it needs to in its various functions, but it's also to be there to support you.
Yes.
And to help you do what you do. And our relationship, it is a kind of a coaching relationship where we communicate freely and openly. We've been friends for a long time.
Exactly. We've been doing this for a while.
I mean, yes. We're buds. We, right. we hang out together informally and have for a long time. And so the communication is free and open and easy between us.
Yes.
Which makes it both of our jobs a lot easier, right?
It does. There's no pretense.
No. We know each other too well for that.
Exactly. Yeah.
We can't fool each other.
No.
So that's a good thing. And so even if it comes down to difficult things,
yes,
we can still ask each other the questions
right.
that need to be asked. Just to prod thinking. I'm glad to be a sounding board for you for your ideas, and you're open to ideas from me too. It's a two-way. I mean, you're president, okay? It's your
yes.
deal. I can have a conversation and ask the questions, and we can talk about things, and then I can go away and be retired, okay? And then you get to
come to the office. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But it's a great experience for me. I enjoy it,
and I'm
glad to be of help for you, and I'm glad to hear that I am.
You are, and our relationship is such. Like I said, we have a lot of work history together. We have a very common understanding of what the mission and the vision of the church is, and you and I together, we help support that from your position. You do that from my position. I do that. But I think it's important that our listeners also understand that, you know, you and I don't always agree on everything, you know, but we know how to, because of the relationship we've built, we know how to kind of work through things that maybe we are still learning. Maybe both of us are different attitudes or different experiences that we bring to it, but we work through the issues. And I've never felt like, I mean, there's times you and I, we get locked into talking about ministry strategy or ministry plans, and we'll get locked into that and we'll work through it. And I think that's a healthy thing. The Bible talks about how iron sharpens iron. I think you and I have that kind of relationship.
Well, we do. And it comes from knowing each other.
Yes.
And you know, having a mutual respect.
Right.
So that, you know, if you say no to me, I'm thinking, well, I know Greg's not against me.
Yes.
He actually probably has a pretty good reason for saying that. And
yes.
And I probably ought to pay attention. I think it works both ways.
It does. Okay. It does. Yeah. It does. Yeah. It does. No, but I think it's been a real privilege that you and I get to serve in the roles that we get to serve in. I feel like we are in a place that we do get to set, you know, hopefully a good example of how we work through the bylaws, how our structure works together for the good of the church and for the mission of the gospel. So what greater opportunity could we have?
Yeah, it's an honor.
Yes.
You know, it was a surprise when it came my way.
Yes.
And as I had spent probably a good 2 years prior to retirement praying, okay, Lord, what's next here? You know, and there were certain things I did not feel a call to.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nothing in particular I felt a call to, and I didn't think of this at all.
Right.
And so when it came my way, and you know the story to it because you were involved in it,
sure.
I was surprised, which I guess we are sometimes with, you know, what Jesus tags us for.
Right.
Okay. But my, what an honor, you know.
So you weren't sitting at home waiting for a phone call to be asked to be the board chair?
No, I might have expected a different kind of call of some sort. But
yeah, exactly.
But not that
exactly.
One. Exactly. Yeah, not that one.
That was me in the president role too. Our good friend Joe. I asked him, you know, what was it that he saw about me? And I thought this was good. I know he actually did mean this. He said, I really like Susan, and that's what he told me. And some people are like, well, what? I understood exactly what he was meaning by that, because he saw in her a temperament, a maturity, and a support that she would bring. I mean, he and I'd worked together very closely. He knew what my capacities were. He knew the relationships I had with the rest of our leaders, even around the world as they were forming. But to tell me his reason was Susan, I think that was choice. I totally agree.
We understand that.
Exactly. We do too.
If you recall, the evening you and I were sitting around and you first talked to me about serving on the chair, I laughed.
Right.
And then I thought later, maybe I shouldn't have laughed. I probably should have taken that seriously, but
no.
Well,
but
we had that relationship.
Sure.
So,
I knew in my spirit that we could work the way we are working now. I knew because of our prior experience that we could do that, and for the good of the church. Mm. You know, it's great that we're friends, but it's also good that we are mission-minded and understand the purpose of the church.
Right, yeah. We're both solidly dedicated to GCI and what Jesus is doing here with us. We've had the history with it. We know what Jesus has done. We see what Jesus is doing, you know, even if we don't always understand it or agree with it. And, yes. You know, outcomes obviously haven't always been what we would hoped or worked toward.
Right.
But we believe He is with us and will always be with us. And we work together from that premise and
exactly.
Move on.
And He's faithful.
Yeah, always, yeah.
Well, it makes me think back to some of the work responsibilities you had. I was there in that meeting when Dan Rogers had asked you to step up and be the one to head up Church Multiplication Ministries. And I remember you weren't expecting that either. You kind of looked up. Did they say my name?
Pretty much, yeah.
But you did. You put yourself into that 100%. And I thought coming forward to where we are in the present, How do you feel about the church multiplication, the birthing of new churches? How do you feel like that is still a primary piece that we need to be focusing on? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you're going to get me started on that.
I know. We made this is a whole new interview, isn't it?
I am still as convinced as ever that birthing new churches, church planting, as it's called in church lingo, in most places, that's integral to our mission.
Yes.
As a church, as a part of the body of Christ, as the body of Jesus Christ, universal, not just GCI. Living things, healthy things, reproduce.
Yes, they do.
Okay, and I mean, you know, under most normal circumstances, all right, we won't take that analogy to a total end, but it's the church has always done this from the start. We are all, whatever congregation we are part of, it's a congregation that is a result of somebody planting a church somewhere that planted a church. This is how all of our congregations got here. Okay, it's a viable, necessary part of the mission of Jesus. And today, you know, regardless of where you are, I live in the South, okay, and everybody talks about a church on every street corner. Mm-hmm. Right? Well, that's metaphorical in a way, although some people I don't think mean it that way, but it wouldn't matter if every church filled up this coming Sunday, there still wouldn't be enough room for everybody.
Yes.
There's always a need for new churches. And today in particular in our culture, at this time in history, there's just more of a need for fresh expressions of church than ever before. For, to use a cliched phrase that we've used often, for all kinds of people in all kinds of places.
Yes.
It's necessary today. And we talk about health, our vision of healthy church.
Yes. Okay?
And I know you know this. Mm-hmm. I know you agree with this. Okay. A healthy church will reproduce.
Absolutely.
A healthy church will birth or plant a new church. And part of being a healthy church is all of what we're talking about with the three venues. All right. But it's also with the intent and purpose of eventually birthing a new church.
Right.
It's not, health isn't just getting bigger and better for ourselves.
Yes.
It's multiplying leaders, multiplying ministries for the sake of birthing or hiving off, whatever analogy you want to use, a new church for new people, not another group of Christians, but new people, new disciples in new places. And if a church isn't doing that, we have to allow the Holy Spirit, to trust the Holy Spirit, to work with the Holy Spirit in the process and trust His timing on things, of course. But we need to be taking intentional steps to do that, to multiply leaders and ministries for the purpose of multiplying churches. And frankly, I don't believe that, regardless of how well a congregation is doing, that they're not as healthy as they might think they are if they're not doing that.
No, I agree totally. With our Vision Healthy Church, I've been challenged as I travel around the world, and people will ask me, what do you mean by healthy? And I think the pinnacle for health in the church is what you're talking about, that they're healthy enough, that they have been multiplying disciples and leaders to the point they can send out a church planting team. And not only does the daughter church thrive, but the mother church continues to thrive too.
Right, yes.
And I think that really is a marker of healthy church. So we're hoping to see that. We've been in a season really right now more of church renewal, but church renewal doesn't really happen until we see that multiplication start taking place.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so glad to hear you say that, but I'm particularly happy to hear other people,
yes,
pastors and leadership teams saying this. You know, as you know, when you know that time when this all started with church multiplication ministries, it wasn't the most popular thing to come along.
No.
Okay.
No.
Almost anything but.
Yes.
Okay. However, you know, with the persistence of catching the vision, the Holy Spirit continuing to transform us as GCI, people caught on.
Right.
Gradually. And so now it is truly heartwarming to go someplace and hear a pastor or church members somewhere talking about, well, we hope we can start a new church someday. I love seeing the ministry action plans that some of the pastors produced. And in the plan, it specifically talks about starting a new church at some point down the road. Okay.
Yes.
And our ministry training center. Yes. I loved hearing about that from the very start, the vision was, let's start a new church, and they are taking steps.
Yes, they are.
Viable, good, healthy steps to do that, and things are happening in that direction. So to see that now is really a part of GCI's vision for healthy church and for the future is just fantastic. Okay, because, I mean, just...
Right.
It's a no-brainer.
It is.
No new churches, where are we in 10 years?
I know.
Okay, I'm excited about it. I'm glad for your leadership and the vision that you have for it and that others have for it. And I thank God for that.
Well, thank you for laying the foundation, because you did, you know, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. But you did. You really were out there as a pioneer doing that. So thank you for that work.
Well, I enjoyed it. I did. I mean, it was, there were some tough times with it. But there were more really good times working with really good people. And it was just such a joy to be a part of some new congregations that started. And, you know, now to think back and look back and, you know, I still think, I thank you, Jesus, for letting me have that opportunity. It might have been a little bit like being in the military. I was glad I did it, but I'd never go back and do it again.
Well, I remember one of the first trainings I came to, you were calling it boot camp as well. So there is a military connection.
Yeah, I got that from some other people who mentored me and trained me. And I got rid of that pretty quick.
That's
though,
good. So that's good. That's right. Well, we've gotten rid of a lot of the military terms.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to let people see a little bit more of Randy Bloom as well. I know you and I both, we enjoy reading, and we share this interest in reading biographies of presidents, you know, U.S. presidents and so forth. And you really have, I think you've gone way ahead of me in your reading with that. But what's some interesting, maybe some interesting story you'd share about a U.S. president that our listeners might not have heard before?
Well, there are so many. I wish I could, you know, think of something that just was really, really
juicy,
a nugget or juicy. And I probably could, even though I had a chance to think about this in advance. I didn't. Even as a kid, this was an interest of mine. Okay. I remember being 7, 8 years old, and I memorized the presidents and knew all kinds of stuff about them, and this kind of carried through. And
yes.
I started collecting biographies of presidents, and I have all of them up through Clinton. Mm-hmm. And I started about 3 years ago reading through. The idea was read through them in retirement, and I'm on Herbert Hoover right now.
Okay.
And there have been really several, a lot of interesting things that I've learned about any number of them. But Herbert Hoover is current.
Okay.
So right now I'm in awe of the guy. Mm-hmm. Now I know sometimes historians skew things, but this particular historian seems to be doing a pretty decent balanced job of it. But Herbert Hoover usually gets a bad rap. Mm-hmm. Because he was the president when the Great Depression hit.
Yes.
Okay, and I haven't gotten that far in his story to hear how this particular historian mm-hmm. tells that story. Right now, I'm up until World War I.
Okay.
And I'm just astounded at what the man accomplished by the time he was 40.
Mm-hmm.
A world-renowned engineer, one of the top mining engineers in the world, and a wealthy man by the time he was 40, tagged by President Woodrow Wilson to organize a relief organization, a relief agency to feed victims of the war while the war was going on.
Wow.
I wish I could take the time to tell that whole story, but what he had to do that nobody had ever done before, the scale that he did it, the efficiency and the effectiveness of what he did.
Yes.
And the kudos that he earned from everybody back then around the world, even the belligerents in the war, was just amazing. I picked up the book and I thought, okay, Herbert Hoover, here we go. I'm reading through them. You know, I'm going to do this. I can't put the book down. Excuse me. It's hard to put the book down because it's just so interesting from page to page. So you never know.
You don't. It's those backstories. That's what really captures you.
Well, one of the big lessons of going through this is it's really been emphasized to me that there is nothing new under the sun.
Right.
Politics today, believe it or not.
Yeah, same issues.
It's always been this way.
Yes.
We've got media and social media, which it does kind of intensify things a bit. But I mean, as far as in general, it's just kind of the same, okay, and I won't say any more that. And history does things,
and it does repeat itself.
There are a lot of people, a lot of presidents,
yes,
who've been glorified over the years. Who now their dirty laundry is coming out, you know, and so they're still looked up to, but they're more humanized, okay. And then there are presidents who've just been beat down and vilified. But now history is showing they really weren't so bad after all. And it's interesting, okay?
Yes.
And so I read through this and it kind of helps settle me down, you know, when
it's good.
When we deal with things that are happening today and have been, and realizing that we don't know the whole story about anything or anybody.
That's right.
We don't.
That's right.
And so let's not get too caught up in things.
Yeah.
And let's keep our eyes on Jesus like we're supposed to.
Yes.
Okay. And 20 some years ago, when we went through some of our major changes in GCI, there was just something that came home to me that I realized is kind of a self motto. I have no hero but one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you know who that is.
Absolutely.
I know hero. I'd look up to certain people.
Right.
And I admire certain people and what they've done and what they do. Okay. My hero's Jesus.
Yes.
And you know, there's no equivocation on that. That's just it.
Exactly.
We do ourselves a disservice if we start thinking too much of people, wherever they are, in whatever level of leadership or influence they have. We're going to put ourselves at a disadvantage if we start putting too much stock in anybody but Jesus.
Amen. Amen, Randy. That's excellent. That's a good word of encouragement for our members and our leaders who may be listening in. I really appreciate that. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Like you say, there's the one hero.
And, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's the guy.
Well, thank you for taking the time to be with us. I just want to say a prayer over you. Thank God for your willingness to do what you do, because sometimes I feel like we're working you harder than a volunteer sometimes. And I know you probably feel a little bit of that too, but I really am very, very appreciative of the time that you dedicate to the church. You're making a difference for GCI. So,
yeah. I hope so. Thanks. And yeah. It's an honor. Thanks.
Well, let me just pray over you. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
Father, our loving God, we thank you for just the way that you love us. You've shown that to us through your son, Jesus. As Randy said, he is the one true hero. He's the one that all of us will throw our crowns down and we'll all bow at his feet. He's the only one who deserves the worship. So we thank you for him. I also want to just say thank you for Randy. Thank you for his leadership. Thank you for his friendship. Thank you for Debbie as well, and that she's willing to let Randy serve in this way, because sometimes it does come up at awkward times that we need his services. And there's times that emergencies do happen in our church. But I thank you for his years of service. I thank you for the wisdom that he brings. And I just thank you for the good spirit and the way that you've shaped him and the vision for our church to stay focused on that. So I pray for him and Debbie. I pray for their time in retirement, of the grandkids they get to spend time with and the joy that brings and the travel that they get to do. I just pray that any of the other items on their bucket list that they're going to be able to do that. So again, I just pray your blessing on him. Thank you for him. He's a blessing to GCI. And we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for tuning in to We Are GCI. I hope you got to learn a little bit more, not only about Randy, but how we operate with our board of directors. And please keep us in your prayers. Until next time, I'm Greg Williams, and we are GCI.